It's Tuesday, 20th of March, and you're listening to the Game Grain Grincast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are... Cal.
Good evening.
Kayla.
Hello.
Puce.
Hello.
And Catty.
I'm here too.
Unless he tries to connect to the wrong website and his router kicks him off.
It's been a time.
Today we'll be covering several things, including the Games Developers Conference, which is currently running, also known as GDC, in case you're wondering why you hadn't heard of Games Developer Conference, because it's a very long title. But first up, what's everyone been doing this week? Cal.
Well, I've been doing a lot of Vermintide, which seems to be the go-to game for everybody right now. We've been streaming a fair amount of it for the last past week or so, so a lot of fun with that. I haven't really been doing much on the Game Grin side, but I have been sort of experimenting with some voiceover work for some of the videos for our channel, so hopefully... if we get some videos up and running for that, that'll come along nicely. And hopefully get a new series started for the YouTube channel. But besides that, I've been playing a interesting little shooter as well, which has appeared. It's like a free-to-play... Well, I say like, it is. It's a Call of Duty clone, but it's actually quite a good one. It's called Iron Sight. And it's basically... a good PC version of Call of Duty, because Call of Duty on the PC is utter shite. It's full of hackers, it has little to no support from Activision and the developers, it has loads of missing features that should really be on the PC version, like Field of View. And it's basically a Call of Duty clone, but it's a free-to-play Call of Duty clone that has pretty good decent graphics, and it's all your typical free-to-play stuff. It's all cosmetics, it's got loot boxes in it. It's got, rentable guns, so you can get a gun for 5 days, that usual bollocks. And you think...
That sounds awful.
That sounds awful, but this is a free-to-play game when all of that stuff is found in retail games these days. So...
True.
Yeah. So it's all right. I've had a bit of fun with it. You know, it kills a couple of hours because it's you just literally jump into a game and then you play a couple of games and then you hop back out. So I'm fancy streaming that, so I will stream that. Other than that, Vermintide, because it's just a lot of fun.
I believe you've been streaming it with next up, Kayla.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing loads of Vermintide streams. It's so much fun. Speaking of the game, I am reviewing it. The review is almost done, so I'm hoping to get it done very soon. But with the introduction of GDC and Nintendo announcing a huge amount of games, which has been dubbed as the Nindies, a bit bogged down in news. I'm just trying to push one of those out as quickly as possible right now. But other than that, I finally got my review for Seven, The Days Long Gone. Finally. that was a difficult one to review. And I'm still on the fence of that game as well, about whether I actually enjoy it or not, because I spent about half my time being extremely frustrated and half my time really enjoying it. So, when that goes live, I'll have to check it out and see what you think.
Will it take 7 days to read it?
Yes.
Whee.
Fantastic. Puce, what have you been up to?
Gaming-wise, very little this week, unfortunately. The only thing of note, really, was I played a bit of Sea of Thieves this morning, which is it's a lot of fun. It's, I'm still curious as to how that's going to pan out. Over a long period of time, but it seems fun so far.
Is it online only? Because that's my worry.
It is, yeah. It's a purely multiplayer game. There, apart from you can do solo activities in it, but it is online only.
Oh, you don't have to talk to Guffins about it all the time, do you?
No, you don't. You don't. It's, on PC, you can use push to talk as well. I guess on console side, if you play Xbox One, it's. I imagine it'll do the console stuff so that if you're in a party, you can hear other people, but you can't talk to them. But you can talk to the party. I think it's got location-based voice as well, so proximity-based. But it's cross-play as well, so Xbox players can play with PC and vice versa. And if you buy the digital version, then the save is shared across both platforms.
Well, that's good. I was quite interested in that, because I noticed that it's part of the Game Pass for Xbox. So I'm tempted to sign up to it just to do the trial and give it a go.
Yeah, I think that's probably what Microsoft are hoping, that it's a good loss leader sort of thing to get people to try out Game Pass, because I think it's an easier sell if you look at it as getting it via Game Pass for £8 rather than a £50 purchase. It's a bit of a hard sell for £50, I think. But
it worked with Rocket League. Like with the amount of people who...
That wasn't £50, though.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm saying in the sense, like, it was given away part of the PlayStation Plus, and loads of people got Plus just to get the free Rocket League.
Too bad Sony haven't had a similar success with any of their following games.
That is true.
But yeah, with it being the first major Microsoft first-party thing in Game Pass, it's definitely be a good proof of concept for them, I think, to see how successful it was going to be. Because going forward with all the Microsoft first-party things like Crackdown and I think State of Decay 2 and eventually the new Forza and whatnot, with they'll all be included. So Game Pass is getting some quite good value add with these things. So.
Okay, and finally, Catty, what have you been up to?
I've also been on the Vermintide train with Carol and Kayla, and yeah, there's nothing more really to be said on that, really. Games.
He's been participating.
I've been there. I've not really been doing much else. Just watching it. It's a good game to watch. As you see, Ratman's heads plonk to the floor. Past that, I have been playing Battlezone Combat Commander, which is a remaster of the 1999, I think, Battlezone 2 Combat Commander, confusingly. I really like Battlezone 2, the original game. I feel that this remaster is quite lazy, in that they've given it a new coat of paint, and that's about it. The game still plays like it is from 1999, and the game is still good, but it's very obvious with this sort of the updated visuals that this game is old now. And there's weird mouse acceleration that you cannot turn off, and it really does annoy me. But other than that, the game's still good. It just needed more than a coat of paint.
So that's really interesting, because I got to speak to the developers when we went to PC Gamer Weekender, and they told us that pretty much the entire original team had come back to work on this, and they'd been introducing all the mods and everything that the community had been building since its release. Apparently it's got a huge sort of following still of people who've been playing it since it came out all that time ago.
Yeah, I think I did look this up at the weekend. There were more people playing on the Battlezone 2. There's a forum. It's on the subreddit. There were more people playing the original Battlezone 2 than there were playing the remaster at the weekend.
That has hurt.
And I think it is just because the original game is still so good, and this doesn't do anything new, and yet they're selling it for £15. I don't know. I need to play a lot more of it before I get my final opinions on it, but as it stands, it kind of just feels a bit Like the I think the best example of it, the original game had pre-rendered cutscenes, and their whole thing with this remaster was, oh, it's slick new visuals, but they've used the same cutscenes, but they've kept them at the original resolution. So I'm playing it full screen, 1080p, and then this tiny little box appears in the middle of the screen for the cutscene. They've
That
not
does.
scaled it up or
You
done
haven't even
anything
done a
to it.
basic upscale.
No.
That does seem very lazy.
And it's so obvious when you then transition into the actual gameplay that none of the textures are the same. The game looks completely different.
Well, personally, this weekend I played a heck of a lot of Ghost Recon Wildlands because I was in the mood for some Ubisoft game before Far Cry 5 is released next Tuesday. Really looking forward to that. It looks so fun.
Oh, definitely. I'm looking forward to that as well.
So I decided to open up GOG Galaxy and download Far Cry, which I bought a while ago. I intended to maybe do a diary about it, but that I went a different direction with Metro. So instead, I've decided to do a comparison between the original Far Cry and the new Far Cry. So I need to play quite a bit of the original, which is quite it's not an easy game so far.
And it's very different to everything that came after it, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's because it's Crytek's Far Cry. It's a bit of a bugger of a game, to be fair, because it does throw a lot of shit at you. And it has a really stupid, like, mutant sort of side of things to it as well, which Ubisoft really quickly scrapped. So the
And
second
replaced
one.
with lots of drugs.
Yeah, pretty much. The second one is the first, is technically the first entry for Ubisoft's.
Yeah,
Although some people would say the third one, maybe.
I was going to say, if mutant monkeys show up in Far Cry 5, that's a very different game than what I was imagining it was going to be.
Maybe
They will
in the arcade mode.
They'll probably appear in in the season pass content because that sounds absolutely mad as well.
It does, yeah. That sounds so much fun. It's like we were saying, we were talking about the arcade mode coming to it, and it was like, quite surprised of how like versatile it looks like it's going to be. You can take assets from other Ubisoft games and make your own maps and customize it. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun just to piss about and just build your own like weird and wacky little adventure thing.
Yeah, your XP and money you make in the arcade will carry through into the main campaign, so you can buy new outfits and stuff.
Oh, that's
To
cool.
give you an excuse to play
Yeah,
on arcade maps.
it's kind of interesting that they're integrating it so much from what we saw with the posters on the walls in the main campaign that let you jump into it at any time and things like that. It's interesting. It'll be fascinating to see how that plays out.
I find it funny for me as well because the only reason I would buy Far Cry 5 is to play the arcade mode. I have no interest in the main story or the campaign or anything. I just want to mess around with Watch Dogs and Far Cry assets. I want to make an elephant run through a city. That's what I want. Just
And
let me
you
do that,
can.
Ubisoft.
Yeah, but in the campaign, you get to go and rescue a bear, and his name is Cheeseburger, and he has diabetes.
Yeah,
this is
Cheeseburger the bear. Yeah.
But I can, in theory, put Cheeseburger the Bear in my own stuff. I don't even need to play the
Yeah,
game
but
for that.
then you're just cheaping out. You gotta go rescue him and get him the proper way.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I just want to play with Cheeseburger the Bear. No, I know
Cat
that's a thing.
is heartless. We've known this for a long time.
Well, I had a heart, and then you
Cheeseburger
murdered it.
in the trailers is Cheeseburger in the trailers is adorable.
Also, I did play something else I forgot that we. I'd like to talk about. I went to London to play A Way Out, the game from Joseph Farras, the guy who made Brothers and Team. And that game was very good. In I need to. We didn't really play enough of it for me to know exactly how it would play, but it had a really nice mix of stealth and sort of cooperative stuff going on. I think, and that was the thing that really surprised me. You really do have to play this game cooperative. There is no way you could play it without someone else.
How does it square up against Prison Break the game?
I don't know anything about Prison Break the game, but from what I can tell,
I don't think anyone played it.
From what I can tell, it'll be nothing alike, because most of A Way Out is set after you've escaped from prison. Like a good 75% of that game is not about escaping prison. It's like being on the run.
So it's very much like the later series of Prison Break, then.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. But it was really fun, and they put on a good show, which you could hopefully see more about on Game Grin sometime this week. We have a video, apparently.
Is the co-op done in such a way that it's sort of kind of like you get through an area and there's like a switch or a button or a lever that the other person has to pulse or activate so the other player can then progress a bit further? So you're kind of leapfrogging like that, or does it cleverly crisscross over each other?
I think it has elements of that, but it also has these like scenario-based things. So I think there was one where the two players can just walk off wherever they want to go. And they, I think they're at like a gas station or something, and one goes in and just pulls a gun on the person in the gas station, and the other one's like off doing something elsewhere, and that triggers an event to happen.
Yeah, there are certain, from the bits that we played, there wasn't really anything. There were sections where, oh, you need both people here to move on, but that was sort of like checkpoints rather than to just like make sure when we save at the top of this little cliff bit, you're both here. But for the most part, it was very much both people go off and kind of do what they want and play the game how they want, and you've kind of got to react to each other to see how the game plays out. Because we played a section at the start where we stealthed through, but I think it's entirely possible to just beat up all of those cops and get through without even crouching. It'd be difficult, though.
It all depends on how much your friend wants to troll you as you're playing.
Well, started playing that section, the other person got lost. Like, completely, we had to use both of our perspectives to work out where they were to get them to go to the right place. And that was probably the weirdest thing I've ever done in co-op.
Were you playing with Dominoid, who gets lost in straight corridors?
No, I wasn't, but it was along those sort of lines.
Oh my. From A Way Out to GDC. There's been a number of things announced, such as Google Play Instance, where you can try games on Android without having to download them. The HTC Vive Pro has been announced, released, one of those, and the standard versions had a £100 price drop. And Amazon has revealed Game On, which is not a magazine. Though if you search for Game On and Amazon, please do click on the Kindle link and give it a look. But their Game On is basically the next step in their Amazon Web Services way and their cloud. Have any of you been following along the GDC and keeping abreast of things?
Yeah, actually I've been writing most of the news for it, so I should know about most of this stuff. The Google Play Instant is really interesting. I really like the idea of it. Just being able to just try a game without having to install anything, download anything. You can actually just tap on it and just play a little. I think it's essentially like a demo sort of version of the game, and then you can make a decision on whether you want to download it or not. And while it's not too much of a hassle to actually like download something, sometimes it is like, oh, I don't have much space for this game, or you know, like maybe you're out and about or something, and you don't want to use your Wi-Fi that much, you know, so you could just quickly do the instant and have it play like that.
Yeah, I agree. It's, well, I don't have that problem because I always get the phone with the biggest screen and the biggest storage, but it is something that I came across years ago. Oh, I want this game, so I've got to delete these three games.
Yeah, I'm curious about how it actually works. I wonder if it's using HTML5 or something like that to do like a mini version of it, rather than it being part of the fully fledged app. Which it's interesting. It's definitely a good way of getting people to try things.
Yeah. Do we know if your progress carries across?
Not that I know. There's not that much information about it on the actual website for it. So, but other than that, I mean, they did a big overhaul on the app itself to make searching a lot easier. So they've got just like a lot more categories now, so you can really, like, I don't know, you can search like action and sports and everything with it, so you can actually get better search results as you go.
Yeah, better filters than what's there currently. Basically, unless you know what it is that you're looking for, you pretty much can't find it, can you?
And even then, it's sometimes difficult.
They did also sneak in something, or at least started putting more focus on it. You can now pre-register for a game, which is their term for pre-ordering mobile games. And apparently yes, They're more expensive than they will be at launch.
Really?
That's
how does that work?
I can't remember. I saw this on Twitter and I have no way of finding it again now.
There must be like incentives or something but, added to that.
Well, apparently, from what the person was saying, they put up what they wanted to sell the game for, and then Google added something extra on that. So that Google are taking an additional cut from these pre-registration games, apparently. Citation definitely required, because this is anecdotal from someone I follow on Twitter, but I kind of trust what they were saying.
Yeah, it's interesting, because the pre-register thing has been around for a while, because the Nintendo games, when they first did Mario Run and the Animal Crossing, you could pre-register in advance to get notified on the store when you logged in when it was actually available. But they were free to play, well, free to start, as Nintendo called them, games. So, yeah, so that's curious if there's a fee attached to ones that use that feature but are actual pay-for products.
Right, well, from GDC, we go to a listing spotted on Amazon. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 remaster was briefly on the Italian Amazon, and which has raised eyebrows because it would cost €19.99 or about £18, or it's Activision, it'll be £19.99. Given that the first Modern Warfare remaster was bundled in with Infinite Warfare, it's odd that their sequel would be a separate product straight off.
Is it though? Because so many people complained that they didn't want to buy Infinite Warfare, they just wanted Modern Warfare 1, but by then it was too late for them to backtread that for launch. I think they have since released Warfare 1 as a standalone.
Yes, yeah, they have.
But I think this makes more sense for them. This will make them more money.
You know, the interesting thing about Modern Warfare, of course, is that they, in the remaster, they then did the DLC maps that you had to pay for separately rather than including it in the remaster. And they also did microtransactions, yeah.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
We're very much in the age of remasters and remakes, and I am starting to wonder how long it's going to be until it just gets ridiculous, until we're having like remasters of things that were released actually not that long ago, and I'm curious to see how far some developers are going to start pushing this.
That's called Grand Theft Auto 5. It was released on consoles and then released on the next generation consoles and then released on PC. All slightly different editions.
It's like literally not even a full generation before we saw the same game. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. I was just gonna say with Dark Souls Remastered coming soon. That's literally a last gen game as well, the same as the COD Modern Warfare remasters. So it's they're really quick at turning these around again.
And no one seems too bothered about it. People just seem like, oh, that's just another remaster, cool. Probably pick that up at some point.
It's because like, you get to play a game you liked with better graphics.
It's one of those things, isn't it, that's interesting. It's like when you look at Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. It's like Shadow of the Colossus at least got a remaster on every gen past its original release. And there's only so much you can do with a game when it comes to literally just graphical updates. There has to be, at some point, it's no longer the same game. Or you have to do more to it so that it stands up to a modern audience. It's like kind of what Katty was saying with their Battlezone. It's just a new skin over an old game, but the game has kind of not aged that well compared to what we're kind of used to with modern. Like, if it was made today, it would be a totally different experience.
To be fair, though, with Modern Warfare 2, it was only released 9 years ago, and has Call of Duty massively changed in 9 years from point and shoot?
Not really.
Wolfenstein, point and shoot at Nazis.
It's more of a case like Call of Duty's gotten rather stale to the community, is because it's not the what it looks like, or is more like the setting, the way the game plays in general. It's all very samey. But then the problem with the community at the same time is they've been along with that same thing over the years. If they try and make it more competitive, like Counter-Strike, or they make it more like Battlefield, then they'll be like, oh, Call of Duty's, you know, run out of ideas, they're doing this and that. So the Call of Duty community is very difficult to please. And they're
damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Pretty much, it is, yeah.
Yeah, I think where COD kind of ended up trying to diverge was in the mobility stakes. And it's like once you got to the Black Ops and then through into Infinite Warfare, and well, Advanced Warfare and Infinite Warfare with the double jumping and wall running and stuff, basically nicking off Titanfall, because that's something that Titanfall did really, really well.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just Advanced Warfare was the last probably fresh type Call of Duty game, because that movement system in that was quite good. It wasn't wall running or anything like that. It was like you can boost forward, you can boost backwards, you can shift to the left, you can shift to the right. And it was quite speedy in that sense, and it was quite fun. But over time, Call of Duty's always... Sorry, my phone just went off. Over time, you enjoy it and you like it at first, but then you start seeing the cracks, and then you're like, oh, this is getting samey again. It's just very repetitive, and you just get tired of it. And then they copy Titanfall for Black Ops 3. Yeah. As Pew said.
Well, some games, to prevent them from getting samey, such as Soul Calibur 6, introduce Geralt of Rivia. Rivia? From the Witcher series.
Geralt of Rivia.
I have not played those games. Obviously.
We'll call him Bob from now on.
Geralt.
The Witcher from The Witcher.
He's a Witcher, not the Witcher.
I knew that. I'd set someone off. Yes, they've announced that he, whatever his name is from that game, is going to be in Soul Calibur 6 as a new fighter.
I think he suits. I think he does really suit the whole theme.
Yeah, and it's really nice as a guest character, because in previous Soul Calibur's kind of got a history of having novelty or guest characters like Spawn. Characters like Spawn or Link.
Yoda.
Or Yoda, even Darth Vader. But Geralt actually kind of fits. And it's kind of interesting because it kind of fits with the world that Soul Calibur kind of is anyway. So.
And he has his
kind of cool.
Unique
I really like him.
Style and his abilities are all very unique as well. So he stands out amongst all the others.
He also joins gaming alumni Link, Yoda or Darth Vader, and Ezio from Assassin's Creed in being the guest character on the cover art of a Soul Calibur game.
I mean, he is very iconic.
Yeah, the cover art looks amazing. Like, really cool.
I haven't played Soul Calibur since, I think, like, the second one. I remember playing Soul Blade, or Soul Edge.
I loved Soul Edge years ago.
Oh my god, I absolutely loved it. And actually, yeah, this has kind of actually got me a little bit interested again, thinking, oh, I might have a little go at that.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for them to do like a proper true successor to the awesome Edge Master mode from the first Soul Edge. That was amazing. You know, the mini RPG mode where you went from fighter to fighter around a world map and actually had to complete objectives. That was really cool.
And the announcer voice was perfect for it. It was just a really good like narrator's voice, like all the way through, like very that era, I guess.
Yeah, very over the top. But yeah, I like that 6 seems to be going back to the slightly lighter, brighter style rather than... Because 5 was quite dark and drab and depressing at times. It had some flourishes, but it was quite a dark palette. This seems to be much more like the original few.
And there's only so much cloth left on Ivy before she's just not wearing anything.
Sofa Tia must be getting tired of wearing all that metal as well.
She must be getting old by now, surely.
She still looks about 22.
At least they got rid of her like sheep voice lines from the original games. And she sounds like she's like a sheep every time she got hit. It was really irritating. And he said it because she used to beat me so much in the campaign mode.
Right, next news subject. Sorry, my computer did something. I don't quite know what it did. Still recording. Can you still hear me?
We can indeed. Yep.
Okay, that's good.
We can't hear you, mate.
The screen went blank, so I kind of didn't want to continue my spiel. And yeah. Right, our next news topic is Twitch Prime members can now get a collection of monthly games.
I
like the idea of this, but I have some problems with it. The first one was my disappointment of seeing that one of the games was the Devil May Cry collection, and then realizing it's only the first Devil May Cry. Not a big issue. I'm happy just to get it for free.
Yeah, I guess probably the biggest issue that people might have with it is that it's through their own app rather than as via Steam keys or some other equivalent for, say, the GOG or whatever. But it's through the Twitch app, which is a bit weird. But the decent selection of games for the first month. It's quite an interesting selection of things. Shadow Tactics especially is a standout game on there, along with Super Hot.
Oxenfree and Mr. Shifty are my highlights of the list, because not enough people played Oxenfree, and Mr. Shifty is just so good.
I've not gotten to Mr. Shifty yet. That's on my list of things to get to.
Yeah, and of course, no one cares about the final tales of Candle.
Tales from Candle. It's very creepy.
Yeah, my controller cut off again, so I could talk. But yeah, I was going to say, the game selection is actually really good, as you guys were saying. And as saying what Pew said, yes, they're using their Twitch app to download the games and add them to your library is a bit of a pain. I would have much preferred a Steam key. It's only because, like, when I installed the Twitch program, I went to download the game, and it asked me where to install it, and it doesn't give you full control of where the file location is. It sort of just lets you pick the hard drive you want to save it. But I have, like, a specific games folder within my hard drive, which I like to install everything onto it, and it wouldn't let me change it. It was like, no, it's got to be the iDrive. Twitch /games. I was like, really? I suppose I could move it. Yeah.
Then it'll probably break it.
Probably would break it, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I've had the Twitch app for quite a long time, because I've been a Twitch Prime member since it started, actually, funnily enough.
Ooh,
and they've been releasing a lot of free stuff over the last, like, 2-3 years. So my Twitch library is quite big, apparently, now. But I don't remember having many problems with it. I actually think it's quite a good client, all in all.
Yeah, it's interesting, because it started life as the Curse client, because I used to use it for Minecraft mods. But then it kind of morphed into the Twitch app.
Yeah, that's technically not quite true. There used to be a separate Twitch app.
Oh, was there?
That was just a launcher for games, and then Amazon bought Curse and merged the two clients and made a significantly better client out of both of them, because, my god, the Curse launcher was so bad. I think the Twitch launcher, apart from being slightly confused when it just suddenly Curse changed to Twitch, I think it's probably one of the better launchers out there.
Yeah, so it's kind of in like a hybrid mode at the minute then. It's just a bit weird that it's kind of got multiple features, because it does voice chat and all sorts of other things. And it's kind of like a bit of a mishmash of stuff. But it works fine. It's just got some quirks to it.
Do you think they're just trying to find their feet with it and find, like, their, I guess, niche that they can sort of push?
Well, you can already buy games through Twitch, and of course install them through the Twitch launcher. If the channel you buy it from, well, if you buy it from a channel that is an affiliate, such as GameGrin, they get a cut of the money. We've already talked about this month's free games, but next month you'll be able to get Tales from the Borderlands, SteamWorld Dig 2, Kingsway, Tokyo 42, and Dub Wars.
Yeah, and Tales from the Borderlands is well worth playing. And so I think me and Catty have both waxed lyrical about how great the Tales from the Borderlands Telltale games
definitely.
Are.
Fantastic, yeah. Really enjoyed that one.
I quite like SteamWorld Dig 2.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to trying that one out, actually, because I've heard that the second one is more of a handmade game, because the first one was sort of procedurally generated, wasn't it? Am I thinking of a different game?
It may have been.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've read some of that Steam Dig World 2 is, like, a lot of the levels are, like, designed, properly designed, as opposed to being randomly generated.
So I have 19 games on my Twitch launcher, which doesn't sound like a lot, but bearing in mind they've only been giving out occasional free games, I must have gotten all of them.
I believe I've got almost all of them. I think I missed one of them, but I can't remember what it was. And the free Fortnite stuff and Paladins and that I don't use because I don't play multiplayer games.
Yeah, a lot of times I wouldn't actually even bother checking it when I did have it, because I'd be like, oh, it's probably just something for a game that I don't have or don't care about.
Yeah, it's probably just loot boxes for something.
Here's the Storm as well, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, they had a phase where they were going through a lot of Blizzard stuff, so they were giving Hearthstone packs and loot boxes in here as the Storm in Overwatch.
It was at the same sort of time Blizz were trying to push their games as esports outside of their own, so outside of Owl and there isn't one for Pyros, but they were trying to make it big on Twitch by getting people involved. And currently the highest streamed thing on Twitch at the moment is Mr. Rogers.
Yes, I saw a tweet that they were doing a marathon of Mr. Rogers.
It's not the first one either. I'm sure I've seen that a couple of months ago as well.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Being a Brit, it means nothing to me. but yeah, the games from April, another one worth looking at from the those list. I mean, I imagine I'm interested in what what Kingsway and Dub Wars were like, because I had my eye on Way for a while now, but I've never actually bitten on buying it, so that's quite nice. But Tokyo 42 is a really quirky thing that's worth a look as well. It's a fun little game.
Dub Wars is a shoot 'em up, I believe. Kingsway is operating system.
Yeah, I think I've spoken to you a little bit about it before. It's basically an RPG, but the trappings of it and the visuals are done as if it's an operating system. So when you open your inventory, you open up a file browser window with your things in, and it's kind of weird, but it looks interesting.
And the combat is done through pop-ups, isn't it? You have to click on the pop-ups in time or something, and it moves around
really
the screen.
Quirky.
Speaking of quirky, Ark Survival Evolved has joined Fortnite and PUBG as a mobile game.
I was going to say why, but then again, I mean, why not, I suppose?
Well, the full game is like £60 on Steam, PlayStation, and PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Or you can get the free-to-play mobile game.
How broken is it going to be with microtransactions, though, if they're doing it as a free-to-play experience? I'm curious as to see what it's like. I'll probably give it a download and have a look. But I can't imagine the performance will be great, seeing as Ark struggles on pretty decent PCs to be playable.
Apparently there's something like 80 dinosaurs. Yes. I can understand PUBG and Fortnite on a mobile, because the graphics aren't going to be pared down too badly. But Ark is known for having really gorgeous textured dinosaurs.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense if you think about it, because PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds and Ark have one big thing in common. They both run like absolute arse on everything.
Yeah, PUBG is definitely better now than what it was, but it's still not exactly a good performer.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the trailer now, and it graphic. Too good. I think things are just popping into existence. Oh, just like in the trailer.
Yeah, it bugs me when trailers they don't bother to get the frame rate, a constant frame rate, and they don't check if things are popping up. I mean, take some pride. It's a trailer. You're trying to make people want your game.
I just don't really see the point in a lot of these. I'm just like, why would you ever want to play this on your phone, like when you can just play it on your console, your PC? And okay, you can argue you could do it on the go, but are these the kind of games that you want to play on the go?
Yeah, I mean, it's like if they support Bluetooth controllers, it's like, well, that's all well and good, but aren't you just better off playing it on the original platform? Because surely the touchscreen interface is going to be awful on all these things.
Exactly, and with the crossplay, you know, I would never go against PC players on the console. And why would I even attempt that on mobile?
There is apparently quite a lot of aim assist on at least Fortnite. I think, no, on PlayerUnknown's. Sorry, I was just thinking, because I know someone who played a single game on the mobile version and got second in their first attempt. And they're not that good.
See, yeah, that just kind of seems like it is just given an edge then for sort of playing on the worst platform.
Right, I'm abandoning playing those games on PC. I'm jumping straight to mobile if there's aim assist. I might actually hit people then.
Is there not aim assist on the console?
Yeah, I believe so.
The good news is that both mobile Fortnite and mobile PUBG are available now, worldwide.
Be right back, just downloading it.
Well, with Google Play, whatever, you won't need to. You can just stream it or something. I really don't understand this fascination, though, to go back a little bit, with putting first-person games on mobile, because I'm going to tell a little story here. My cousin, she's about 12 now, but she started playing Minecraft on her tablet, and she is absolutely terrified of every single mob in that game, because you can't fight them. You just can't fight in or do things quick enough in the Minecraft version just because the controls don't work well enough. And then I don't see how you could possibly fix that with touch controls to make yourself properly competitive without cheating. Without having this aim assist on. Especially when you're going up against people who have mouse control. I think it becomes less a, I don't understand why these things are running on mobile, to more why would anyone want to do this?
Who would choose that experience as the one that they want to play predominantly? Yeah.
Because it's free.
That was literally what I was just thinking. You know,
well, Fortnite's
it
free
be.
Anyway.
But what about people who don't have a console or a PC? Like, almost everyone is pretty much guaranteed to have a phone. But there are people out there who don't have consoles and PCs, so it is reaching out to an audience. I mean, a very small one, but I suppose it does make these games essentially accessible to people that wouldn't otherwise be able to.
I mean, the minimum system requirements for Fortnite are a 10-year-old processor and onboard graphics.
That's pretty low.
I'm just seeing if there's any system requirements for mobile.
I know that PUBG on the iPhone needs like a minimum of a 5S.
That's not as high as I expected.
Yeah, I watched a couple of videos on it, because there's a guy I quite like on YouTube. He does like low-end gaming stuff, and someone asked him the question of, because he does loads of shitty PCs, and he plays, he had like a AMD A4 and a Radeon 5850. So they're like a processor and a graphics card from like 2012. Maybe 2013, and he gets about 38 to 40 on the lowest settings at 720p on PUBG. And someone asked him the question was, how does it perform on the lowest spec minimum iPhone? And it ran better, although it still ran at 30 FPS, but it ran a bit better compared to the phone, because it's just a bit more optimized.
So on for iOS devices, Epic haven't released an Android supported list, but the lowest spec phone is the iPhone 5 SE, which is roughly the same power as a 6, which confusingly isn't on this list. Also, sorry, I've just found in 4 days people spent $1.5 million on Fortnite on mobile.
Yeah, and saying that,
Crikey.
there is an audience for it. We did a news post on Fortnite reaching number one on the iOS App Store. So yeah, it is up there. People are wanting it.
Well, what games does everyone on the podcast want brought to mobile?
None of
If any.
them make games for mobile, make games for PC. They don't need to cross over.
Yes, exactly that.
I agree.
Some of them
It's
do, but not all of them. And if you're gonna do that, go into it knowing you maybe want to put this on mobile as well.
The only game I can The only game I can think of which I might enjoy playing on the mobile is possibly like a fully fledged Monster Hunter game, kind of like similar to the one that on the PSP.
Well, they did do
That
Monster Hunter
I'd
Freedom
play
Unite
that.
on iOS. That is actually available, or it was. I don't know if it's still available now, but it was a few years ago. But
That's I don't have an iPhone, so
yeah,
I wouldn't have known
sadly,
about that.
they never ported it to Android for no obvious reason.
That's a shame.
I suppose for me, it's more the retro games. Like Sega released a bunch of classics, and I have been playing Sonic, the original Sonic, on it, and that's a heck of a lot of fun.
Personally, I'd love to see a mobile version of Elite Dangerous.
I would
Do you want your phone to explode?
I honestly would like a version of Elite, even if it was a port of First Encounters or even Frontier, but done with a touchscreen interface. That could work quite well on mobile, I think.
I think there should
My
be.
only, my big, but sorry.
Sorry, I was just saying, I think there should be an AR version for that. We've actually got to run around to move the ship and point it to shoot a bunch of lunatics running around everywhere.
That would work actually. That'd be quite good. I suppose Bridge Commander, that Star Trek one, would be quite good as a VR game for the mobile.
Yeah, I can see that.
Although there is Bridge Crew.
Yeah, that's it. Bridge Crew. Bridge Commander is another one.
Yes.
I there are actually I've thought of something. I want Pac-Man on mobile, but AR mobile. So you have to hold it up and it like maps uses Google Maps to map out where you are and it puts down pellets and you have to run. I think that would be really stupid and people will get killed, but it'd be a great game.
Like in Pixels, but without Adam Sandler and without the minis.
Yeah, like in Pixels, but not shit.
If I can just see like sponsors, like I don't know, like McDonald's or someone taking over, and it's like, oh, you've got to get to the next McDonald's restaurant and have this burger.
That
The
would just get
power
annoying.
pills of Big Macs.
You have to prove it. You have to prove that you ate the burger by like scanning the QR code on the box.
Now you just have to Instagram it. Just have the camera permanently watching you
Oh.
as you eat it.
Yay.
See, we've solved it. There we go. We've just won the
This
mobile gaming race.
game literally is writing itself.
See, my problem with like companies like transferring their projects to mobile, I like one of them I noticed was like Final Fantasy 15's on the mobile. It's like almost the full game, or at least like a recreation of the full story playable on the mobile. But they've done like the graphics is all like sort of chibi and sort of cartoony looking.
Yeah.
That's sort of all right. But what they're doing with like PUBG and Fortnite is they're basically taking the Unreal Engine, the exact same game engine, and putting it on mobile, which is quite a good technical feat, but not all developers want to use the Unreal Engine. So if they start developing their game with the intention of putting it on mobile as well, then they've got that whole plethora of work to optimize it for PC, optimize it for Xbox, optimize it for PlayStation, then go ahead and port the engine over and optimize it for mobile and all that bollocks. And it might sort of degrade the sort of game itself as a result. You know how like was with Xbox 360 and PS3 games, the PC ports were garbage because the developers spent too much time making sure the console versions worked. It's not so bad these days, though.
I think the difference between that and now is in Unity, in Unreal, in probably even CryEngine, I don't know off the top of my head, there are options and ways to just publish the files. Like, you don't need to... Everything works on the same system.
Yeah, there's kind of built-in Xbox
necessarily
now.
Do anything.
Yeah.
I think
so.
I don't
agree
with when you're
a limitation.
You still obviously need to do a lot of optimization for the different platforms, but I think there is just a sort of the layer of difficulty of actually getting on these different platforms is very much removed, and I think that's why we're seeing so many mobile versions of PC games that have become very popular, because it is just so much easier now to put those full games on mobile.
Oh, that agree. I've got nothing against, like, I love the idea of seeing classic titles that were on the Game Boy and were on, you know, like the PlayStation Portable and things like that, which are brought to even classic games like N64. You know, emulators are on the bloody mobile. You can get a PSP emulator, you can get an N64 emulator. It's some impressive work these days. But a lot of developers don't want to use the Unreal Engine, or they don't want to use the CryEngine. They especially Ubisoft. Anyway, you could see the Frostbite engine next, though.
I think a lot of the problem with ports to mobile is that just because you could port something to mobile doesn't mean that you should. Your game doesn't
yes.
necessarily
yeah.
have to be on there. It doesn't, if it's not a good fit. I mean, I would love a Bejeweled 4. Instead of that Bejeweled Twist shenanigans, I want a proper sequel to 3. But I'll never get it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I feel like if there's a game coming out that I'm really interested in, I'd want the developers to be focusing on like the console or the PC release, and not, in my opinion, wasting their time on the mobile.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to see a developer go, oh, we spend much time on the console version or the mobile version because that's where our target market is. And it's like, well, no. You've got a lot of PC gamers who want this game. You've got a lot of console gamers who want this game.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the type of games. It's like a lot of things would make sense on mobile, things like visual novels or very story-focused things. But action games, to me, have never really been a good fit for phones. And I don't know whether that's just because I've got clumsy hands and I find touchscreen interfaces really awkward, and maybe that's just me, and everyone that's playing these games is absolutely fine. But I don't know, just action-y things just have never seemed to work for me.
Do you know what does work surprisingly well? Or rather unsurprisingly well? Clickers. There are so many clickers on Steam that would be perfect fits for mobile. And yeah, they just haven't come across as far as I know.
So basically you're advocating removing clickers and tat from PC and console and ship those out to phone users. They can have those games instead.
Oh, I 100%. I play mostly just clickers on my phone, because it's something I can just jump into for 2 minutes.
They
and
are
then
great time
I don't need to worry
yeah.
about it.
They're very good for just jumping in and spending a few minutes just spamming things.
And with that, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Cal, Kayla, Puce, and Katty. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Greencast. You can find Game Grin on Facebook or Twitter, and on Instagram at Game Grin Site. Remember to check out our Twitch stream from 8 PM GMT every single day. And you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. And while you're at it, game on.